KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Hello, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
So we're back from the amazingly large and ever-boring CES.
I was about to say throbbing.
See, I don't...
There has to be some part of it that's throbbing.
I don't know how you're so bored. Like, I had a blast.
The CES itself is really, really boring and lame.
Okay,
Alon's just jaded.
We were only on the show floor for probably 4 hours, tops.
And why is that?
Because we were doing other things.
Because it's boring.
No,
what
I mean,
we go to CES
I
for
wish
is
I
the
had,
non-CES stuff.
I wish I
would have
had
CES.
More time to see the show
I thought you guys
floor.
Went to the CES for the Adult Expo.
No, I didn't even go, actually.
I'm very disappointed.
Rich went.
I didn't go in.
Okay, I'm even
what?
More disappointed.
I was
going to
go, and then it was like, no, it's too late, and they were like closing, so I didn't go. Because it was the Friday, it was the Saturday before the awards thing, so they closed the show floor early.
Yeah, I went like four anyway. Years ago, though. And, you know, I got it all out of my system. Not all. I mean, I would still go again, but whatever. The other guys we were with, though, they went and had a good time, and they brought me back a nice gift bag, so it was very kind of them.
So how many USB drives did you get this year?
Only two.
I'm shocked.
Only
frankly.
Two. But I did get to watch data from Star Trek The Next Generation hit on my girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah.
No
was,
S.
No
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was real.
Brent Spiner hit on your fiance.
I think you have the wrong name there.
Brent Spiner is Data from Star Trek.
Honestly,
are you talking about a different person?
It's LeVar or something or
no. No, LeVar Burton is not Data.
LeVar Burton?
No, I was thinking of...
definitely not Data.
No, I thought you were talking about the Reading Rainbow guy was
no,
there.
No, he was also there.
Yeah.
But Data was there, and he was the one really macking on Michaela.
I didn't see Data
and
there.
when she gave her name, he said, hey, LeVar, because they were right next to each other, this is Michaela, and I was like, oh,
now,
my daughter's
now
name
I'm
is...
Now I'm so jealous.
My daughter's name is Michaela.
And I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
LeVar's daughter's name is Michaela.
Yeah, spelled the same way, too. So he was super nice. They were both nice, but, like, LeVar, like, has that presence about him that is just, you're a super nice guy. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you. I would hang out with you.
Reading
you're super cool.
Years of Reading Rainbow does this to you.
No, and actually, I don't normally give these people a second thought day to day, but...
Sure.
You know that my day job involves me being
yeah. You know I would have totally geeked out if I was a part of that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were so into that.
Dude, I am a bona fide Star Trek.
Well,
fan.
We've got pictures. We'll show you.
Yeah. Did you make a comment about? Oh, Brent, your skin looks a lot less clammy than I was expecting.
No, we didn't. I did. I did talk to LeVar though, because like I said, I'm on social media quite a bit on my day job, and I found about a year ago LeVar was using Twitter. As sort of like this stage to help him quit smoking, because he used it for accountability purposes. He went on and said, "Guys, I'm quitting. I'm trying to quit smoking for like the umpteenth time."
That's a social contract.
Yeah, but I've never told anybody about it. I just did it with myself, and now with Twitter, I'm letting you guys know, and I'm going to update you, and you're going to help keep me accountable for it. And I asked him about it, and he said, "Yeah, it actually helped him, and he successfully quit because of the support that he had." In social media.
So. That's really awesome.
Now, that other guy, the data guy, Brent whatever.
Brent Spiner.
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that he was data, but whatever. We actually ran into him a second time that night in the same place, and he made sure to say hi to Michaela.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's good times. Well, what did Michaela think, most importantly?
She was very excited.
Very excited. I would be very excited.
She is a big fan of data as well.
I see.
Star Trek specifically, which never comes out in real life.
Yeah,
like, I never knew that.
Yeah, well, neither did I.
But,
any tension there? Because I remember one time I was related a story by this guy I work with where his now wife was hit on by Jay Leno.
Okay.
In a hot tub.
No, it doesn't bother me one bit.
No, that's cool.
I thought
that's
it was
cool.
Funny.
That's cool.
So, if that's
funny, Jay Leno in a hot tub, how funny is that?
Also
hitting
funny,
on
I
your
guess.
Girlfriend, taking her away.
Well, the irony there is that Jay Leno is married, and for all I know, Brent is as well. But
yeah, but that doesn't count if you're a celebrity. I mean,
yeah, but it's also like at a public thing. But he asked, like, what are you here for? And she said, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And
yes, maybe Brent can do our show intro.
No, but he was like, no, S, what? That's not a real thing. And I was like, yeah, it is. And I gave him my business card, and he chatted for a second. And he says, so Alon, do you, he shows me the card in his hand,
yeah.
right?
I'm
gesturing to you, but they can't hear it.
Right.
They
right.
can't see it.
Yeah.
So he shows me the business card. So Alon, you care if I get rid of this? I was like, no, man, get rid of the card, whatever. Like, he was being nice for a second, but then he was just, I really don't care about this. And he was honest, which I liked. Honest,
yes,
but funny.
That's
and then
cool.
He continued to mack on Michaela.
Well, I'd be like, I'd want the card back so I can give it to someone who cares, Brent.
I've got plenty, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good time. I also got to meet and take a picture with iJustine, someone I have a very thorough distaste for.
Is this one of these Nickelodeon things?
She's a girl who has become popular simply because she's cute and in social media. Like the Paris Hilton of social media,
yeah.
Minus all the skank.
Well, not all of it.
Maybe not all of it.
Yeah.
She's trying to be this popular girl just because she's on a blog. Like, I don't know of anything she's actually done.
Yeah, but what else is new in the world of women?
I guess, well, women in media. Like, if it weren't for the cuteness, no one would care about her at all.
If it weren't for cuteness, then you'd have to actually have to be captivating with your speech.
No, but, dude, like, she's even made it. Like, do you watch Hulu ever?
From time to time.
Have we convinced you?
You have. Hulu's cool.
One time I was watching Hulu, and you know how they give you that commercial halfway between? Or
crap interface, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, actually, the desktop client isn't as bad. Anyway,
but still
she starred in one of the commercials that I saw. I mean, I'm sure it existed outside of Hulu, but I saw it on Hulu and only on Hulu multiple times.
So with such a tremendous distaste, how did you manage to elicit a conversation?
Well, she was just there, and I was like, hey, let me get a picture. And she's met my boss at a social media event before. So I was like, hey, you know this guy? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, I work with him.
Does her name really start with I?
No.
Because you could be like, oh, my name's I Alon.
No. Her stage name or whatever on Twitter is iJustine.
That would be worth it just to see the reaction, though.
That would be such a bad joke.
I would do it.
I do just want to say we shouldn't discount cuteness completely, because without cuteness, nobody would like kittens. And
Toxoplasma makes sure that we all like kittens.
So
let me tell you,
this is also the same party. I do want to point out my favorite part about this party that we were at, the It Won't Stay in Vegas, is Sony was set up on one side of it, showing off like Heavy Rain and Gran Turismo and Meg and all their games. And it was like an hour and maybe 30 minutes, an hour to an hour and 30 minutes into the event.
Even longer, actually. You hadn't gotten
still,
there for a while.
No, this is probably an hour after we got there, so it had already started. Like, they were still downloading and then installing Mod Nation Racers. It was like installing 12%.
I knew you were
sitting
this
there
up
forever.
To be honest, they probably had a version on there and then realized there was a new version available, and they wanted to put the newest version.
And
out
guess
there.
How long that takes? Way too freaking long.
It did.
I watched it, like I saw it, and I was like, "Oh, it's at like 2%." I went back like 10 minutes later. I'm like, "Josh, we got to get a picture of it." And it was at like 24%. Like, I've installed Mass Effect, the entire 5 gig game, on Xbox over Games on Demand in less time than an hour.
Yeah.
And it takes them longer than that.
It also has multiple install cycles. Like, it first it downloads it, then
it installs it.
Like, all
these. One of those fake-out installs? I hate that.
Yeah,
and it just takes forever. Even if it was already there to update it, it takes way too long, whatever it was doing.
It did take a really long time.
And everything's that way on the PS3. It's like, oh, I got to update. I'll just leave it on and come back an hour and a half later.
Well, the PS3 updates tend to be like 600 megs for some reason. So.
Even that over Xbox Live would take about 600 seconds, and that's it.
Yeah, it doesn't take very long.
I don't know. Okay, so back to CES. I have a very important question for both of you.
Sure.
Well, I know the answer for Rich.
What are we talking about?
But did you see Ron Jeremy?
I knew he was there, but I didn't go to the adult thing, and I didn't go to that session that he did with the
So there's this famous, famous in the last few days, session, this kind of adult...
Like him against moms or something?
Porn debate, like, I don't know what the debate was, like pro-porn, con-porn, I don't know.
I think the other side was like some moms group.
Something like that. Anyway, the important part of it, the interesting part of it, was that...
What he said.
Yes. So Ron Jeremy basically made a statement that when it said something to the effect of, you know what, about with regards to the negative effects of pornography on society and kids in particular, pornography is not as bad as video games because the pornographers don't want to market to children.
That's a really good point.
It was a really good point. And honestly, I have to concede that to Mr. Jeremy because, yeah, you know what? There's a lot of games that I don't think kids should ever play. But at the same time, I think that it's one of those...
Sales wouldn't be anywhere near as good.
Well,
if
it's
they
one
didn't.
Of those kind of like the smoking cigarette industry types of things where like they're not exactly... I mean, they're not like getting Barney and giving him a knife to stab people with, but at the same time, it's surreptitious, but it's transparent enough that you can tell that it's kind of, it's kind of marketed toward kids.
Is he saying, though, the industry of porn versus the industry of video games, or is he saying porn and video games? Because there's a difference there.
Well, I think he's saying the cumulative effect is very low because not a lot of children get their hands on the porn.
It's the
internet. It depends how you define children, but
well, another interesting point that his the guy that he was jousting against brought up was that you know what? Before the internet, you had to find porn. After internet, you have to find a way to get away from porn.
Yeah,
and the same can that's be said also about, well a point that's very well taken.
The same can be said about video games. Before the internet, like you had to find video games, right? It didn't just like.
Well, no.
Pop in your lap.
Well, no, but I mean, there's that's not really quite.
But I mean,
the same
I mean, with the internet though, yeah, like he said, you have to get away from porn. Like
there's so much porn.
Any 8-year-old that knows how to use a mouse and a computer can get porn in 10 seconds.
Yeah, I want to point out flat. By the way, I'm not exactly dodging porn left and right unless I'm on a dodgy site. Like if I want to go to Yahoo. I'm not going to see porn. If I want to go to some site that actually has a utility,
that's true.
Like a joystick blog or something,
that's true.
I'm not going to be inundated with porn.
Right, that's true. But at the same time, the the taboo or the stigma, games don't have as much of that as porn does, right? So it's like, you know,
throwing itself on you?
Well, no. As far as the attractiveness of trying to do something that's taboo, right? Like games, it's interesting because porn has a bigger taboo, at least in this country,
yes.
than games do. Games is like, oh, they're violent, oh, they're corrupting youth, but you
not
know,
really in Germany. It's a bit of the reverse
right,
there.
Right. At least in this country, right. But then when it comes to just porn, right, it's like, I don't know, it's a different thing.
It is very different. Are we going to continue this discussion?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well,
anything can happen in a commercial break.
We'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
All right, we're back. Chatterbox, video game radio. That's right. We talk about video games on the radio. That's why
and,
I call it.
And apparently quite a bit of porn as well. Before
any,
we move on.
Any chance we get.
Almost. Yeah, actually.
Sure, why not?
Pretty much. Feel free to go to chatterboxgameshow.com and join in the live chat. Rich, are you on there?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. He'll keep us abreast. Of all the things happening in the chat room. And, of course, if you haven't heard us talk about uat.edu in the past, that's the website for the University of Advancing Technology. You should go take a look if you're interested in getting into the industry somehow by learning how to make games or learning about the industry itself. You can do that at uat.edu. Now, we decided during the break that we didn't really want to go on too much about this Ron Jeremy thing, but I guess I could just pose the question to the listener. There's this... This discussion of is porn worse than games? And I'd actually love to hear what other people have to say. So if they want to email us, that would be great. The website has a link. You can contact us or just send an email to Ara or Alon.
Sure. If you send us a letter over email and it doesn't suck, we'll read it on the air.
Yeah. There's a predominance of sucking letters.
So don't suck if you write us.
Yeah.
It's the only requirement.
That actually probably gets us less letters by scaring people into thinking we're going to make fun of them.
I wonder if suck was like in the 60s, like one of the radio words you couldn't say.
Perhaps.
Because yeah. Every time I say this word, it's completely innocuous to me. I mean, kids say it, right? Oh, that sucks, right? One time I remember, I know this is totally off topic, but it's good.
Oh, it's fine.
I remember I was a teenager. I was working in some fake arcade as like a summer job or whatever.
And, I need to know what makes an arcade fake.
And I can get to that later. That's not part of the story. But basically, at one point in time, I offhandedly said, oh, that game sucks. And some woman, some kid's mother, got so violently angry at me, I could not even fathom what happened.
And because you were the employee at the arcade.
The fake arcade.
The fake arcade.
Right. All right. It was a bunch of Nintendos and TVs set up and you paid by the hour. Okay. It's fake arcade. So,
oh, dude, I totally had that idea.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you apparently were doing that before I had the idea. But...
Well, I wasn't doing it. I just worked there. There was some kind of big shot lawyer actually owned it, and he, in fact, made no money. So I think it was just...
How'd it work? Did they pay per hour? Or...
Yeah, per hour. It's like $5 an hour, $3 an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew that those started to crop up a little bit after I thought about doing it, which was about 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was like a slush fund for him. Like, he just used it as a tax write-off.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, this woman got so angry, and I had no idea what she was talking about. I couldn't fathom if I had to save my life for it, what could be offensive about that. And then I thought about it after a while, and I was like, suck? Suck doesn't just mean it's crap. It means, like, you're sucking, like, something, right?
Okay.
So,
was this your argument for why it's okay?
No. It was just funny because... You know how you use a word so often and it loses its original meaning and it has another meaning that it takes on?
Yeah, that certainly happened.
That's the word suck. Like, suck doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, suck your huh-huh.
Yeah.
Right? It just means it's crap.
It's also, by the way, every word that describes someone in a position where they feel ashamed.
Sure.
And let me explain that. We're just going to do in a little English lesson here. This is my own theory. It's not a developed theory. You'll find in a book anywhere, but you should write about it and put it in a book because it's worthy. Let's say you are a person who has a certain job, like you massage people for a living. At one point in time, your job description was masseuse or masseur. And then over time, they decided, oh, wait, a lot of people prostitute themselves as masseurs and masseuses. I guess mostly masseuses. So we don't like that word anymore. Now we're massage therapists. Same thing happened with flight attendants who used to be stewardesses. For no reason whatsoever, the word is
like
no longer
waitress.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, people don't like... There are people that don't like people to use the word
waitress. Has there been a replacement word for waitress?
Wait staff. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that one, but essentially, if the person is ashamed of what it is they're doing, whatever word describes them will eventually be a bad word, and they will replace it with something else. Just like some people don't like the word black anymore to describe a black person,
right?
Even if they're not actually black. So now there's a new word.
Right, well, some people are going back to Negro, which apparently is not cool. Yeah. You can't call anybody Negro, even though that means black.
Yeah, they switched to African-American, but that doesn't describe everyone who's black, because not everyone is both African and American.
And there's also white African-Americans.
That as well. So, like, eventually that word will, or that coupling
of words
will be bad.
And there's also black Jews.
Also true.
Very, very few of them.
But they could be African-American and Jew at the same time.
Ethiopia.
But my point is, I saw an advertisement for a job once for a fuel transfer technician. And I'm pretty sure that meant the guy who fills your tank up with gas.
Nice.
So, a fuel transfer technician.
Yes.
Press a button and pull a lever.
Now, in this gas station's defense, it may have been the person who transfers the gasoline from the tanker truck to, like, the underground lair where the gasoline is held.
Which I have to say should be no less glamorous.
Exactly. But... Anyway, so...
Or is that no more glamorous?
If you can think of a position where someone is not proud of themselves, then whatever job it is or whatever word describes that will eventually be a bad word.
Well, I always like to tell people that I'm a professional disposable lighter tester.
Oh, okay. So. Sure. So, yeah. If you want to hear more stories like that, more off-topic stories, you let us know. I got one that I have to tell. Something I was just amazed yesterday, but I'll wait. I need to put them all in one
maybe
place.
Maybe we should go back to games.
Maybe. Let's just start by taking a caller. We've got Joe from Pittsburgh on the phone. So let's bring him on. He'll have something interesting to talk about. Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Joe?
Oh, not much. I had two things. First one, I don't really care about that much, but I thought you guys might find it interesting. It's about Project Natal. You might have even heard it at CES where they took out, like, one of the main processors, and now it's going to be totally software-driven.
Oh, yeah, and I'm totally not surprised.
I didn't know it ever was supposed to have hardware other than the cameras.
It was supposed to have a custom chip, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, that actually handled some of the heavy lifting, as it were, for the Natal. Now they're just going to do it in software instead.
Exactly, like all the motion sensing and stuff. It's all going to be done by software. They said it could use up to 33%. The 360's hardware.
33%?
This is actually, I think this is great.
I thought it was 10%.
Yeah, what they mean is one whole core might be used for that.
I think
exactly.
I think that would be great news because that's going to be a larger deterrent for people making the, you know, quote unquote hardcore game or, you know, like the mainstream game. Because if a developer's looking at it going, okay, we can either degrade our visual quality or whatever by 33% to add Natal, or we cannot use Natal, they're probably going to be less likely to use it than we could just add Natal and it's not going to change our game at all, because it clearly will if there's no built-in processor or anything in the Natal itself.
Dude, let's not be silly. No one's going to make a Natal game without making that the whole point of the game. They're not going to just add it in as some supplementary feature. I mean, unless they're trying to gain some attention, right? But it's if so, then yes, it would be an easily dropped feature. But they're not going to like make a Natal game and then say, it uses a third of the processor. We're going to have to get rid of it.
Well, I mean, it could be one of those things where if you're making a new game or if a publisher wants to compete with, in the first-person shooter realm and Rare has already announced they're going to make a new FPS with Natal, the game's going to look like trash if it's using 33% of the processing has to go to Natal. Like, that just clearly means it's going to not be as good of a resolution or frame rate or
texture.
They're
just cutting costs.
Or whatever it is, yeah.
And you know what? I don't know.
How is this thing going to cost?
Oh, dude, it's going to be like $50, supposedly. That's what everyone keeps saying.
It doesn't matter
because I think it'll be $100.
It's not going to work anyway. No one's going
to. It'll probably be between $60 and $100 for the Natal.
They're all going to break. They're going to turn, like, all red colors.
I claim it's going to be $99.99 and come with a single disc that has several mini games on it, and they're going
probably
to really push the game aspect so that you're getting the game with this controller.
And I claim this is going to be the hardest failure of a new product in the past 5 years.
It'll probably
what does hard a failure mean? Biggest,
like catastrophic. Yeah, okay. Biggest. Yeah,
I don't think it'll be that catastrophic.
Wait, let's hear him out.
The other thing I had, totally not related to Natal, was have you guys heard about the Sega Ring Edge at all?
Sega Ring Edge?
Yeah.
What did you just say?
Is this something in the past or something new?
It's something totally new. It's a new arcade board that they developed in Japan. And apparently they filed patents to use it not just as an arcade machine, but as supposedly a home gaming console. And they also filed patents for new controller designs with motion sensors and LCD screens built into them.
Rich, get on the old Inertrons and learn about this thing.
That's crazy.
What's it called?
The Sega Ring Edge.
That's you heard it here first.
So it's actually an arcade board.
Well, but I guess usually though, when Sega does this, they don't patent it for home use either. Like they actually patent it as home standalone home video game console was actually how the patent was drawn out.
Well, it comes up in Google before I finish writing it. Ring Edge is one word.
Yeah.
Okay, you heard it here third.
All right.
My question was, do you think it's going to be, would it be a good thing for Sega to get back into the industry, or would it be
Heck,
terrible.
Yes. Competition.
I tell you what, Rich has an opinion, and we'll hear it when we get back.
I think it's awesome. We'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back. Just a reminder to those joining us, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Our website is chatterboxgameshow.com. If you want to talk, chat with us, I guess, online, you can do that live during the show. Rich is monitoring that right now. Also, I want to get Rich to give us his opinion on Sega doing whatever it is they're doing with this Ring arcade board.
Yeah, I mean, just looking it up briefly, it's just they're kind of new. They're doing the Ring Edge and Ring Wide or something as their kind of arcade systems that games run on. And I mean, the hardware of it is pretty...
Clearly, it's very boring material.
Yeah, it's the most exciting thing in the world.
I mean,
obviously,
the hardware for it is pretty standard. The Ring Edge being the higher end of the two, where the Ring Wide would run, lower, like not as 3D intensive games for arcades and cheaper to manufacture.
Okay, now I'm starting to want to yawn.
But as far as Sega getting back into the home console market, I think that would just be the dumbest idea I've ever heard for Sega, because they can barely make it just doing games. I could never imagine them trying to make it doing hardware again, because clearly they've been incapable of making profit as a hardware manufacturer.
They partnered up with Apple and Toshiba for this hardware.
Who cares about Apple?
Wait, Apple did something. Money. Apple did something that involves arcades?
No, not with the arcades, but I guess they've been working on this Play Sega service with Sega for like streaming Genesis games and stuff like that.
Who
but if
cares?
Apple might be wanting to get into the console market, they could, you know, they could throw a lot of money at that Sega doesn't have.
No. If Apple tried to get into the home console market, they would just get destroyed. They just don't. It just wouldn't work. There's no way Apple could convince the publishers to make games for their hardware unit and try to sell it, because when they sell hardware, they always sell it for more money than it should be.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna die of boredom.
Yeah.
This is like I'm gonna like drop onto the ground right
now. Now you know how I feel when you talk about racing games.
Oh, zinger!
Oh, wow. That could bring the show to its feet. listen, Joe, what I will do as a gift to you and all of the other listeners is educate myself about this Ring arcade thing so that I can formulate a proper
opinion. I can send you a bunch of links and stuff that I've read on it.
Do that. That would be good for me.
Will do.
And I will learn myself a little bit about this thing so that we can talk intelligently about it. At least so I can.
It could be total BS. But I thought it was interesting because another thing that I was reading was that supposedly Sega has pretty much canceled all their games due out for other systems after this year.
That's weird.
All right. I do know that they're not making any serious games for Wii anymore.
They're preparing for the apocalypse. Yeah.
Anyway, Joe, thanks for the call. I will look into that, and then we'll talk about it later on. We've also got another guy that we were actually expecting to call. We got Noah.
Yes, our buddy Noah from Sandbar, which is a local really awesome cool bar in Scottsdale,
Noah,
is with us. Are you present, Noah?
I sure am.
What's happening?
Am I right to think?
I'm actually out drumming up business here for the first Wii Wednesday Sandbar tournament.
The Sandbar, although you're going to have Wii machines there, am I right to think this is also the same bar that has basically a pool and a beach?
Oh, yeah, we've got a zero-depth entry wading pool on our patio, along with an all-sand patio. So if you're a female, make sure you wear your flip-flops and not your stilettos.
So
you're just going to be on the dance floor. So.
So are people actually allowed to go into that pool when they attend the bar?
Oh, yeah, except during hours that the health inspector's around, so 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., but it is heated. And after 10 p.m., the first two girls in the pool, fully wet, kiss lips, get a $100 bar tab. So it's quite the popular spot to jump into.
Interesting. Now, if Ara and I were to both wear bikinis, would we qualify?
No.
No.
I mean, unless you guys shave down and look halfway decent.
I was both cringing and hopeful at the same time.
All right, so... aside from the pool, excuse me, because we would be the tools. Tell me about the Wii event that you're planning.
Well, we did a Rock Band Wednesday, which was quite successful. We gave away $300 cash every Wednesday for the highest score in Rock Band, and it was a great promotion. Brought a lot of people in, gave some great awareness about the games that were available for that system and how well Rock Band worked. And We're going to give it another whirl with Wii. I got one for Christmas, and I'm addicted, you know. My Wii age is only 32, so I'm actually a halfway decent Wii player. And we're going to be doing, it's a three-month promotion where each month is going to be individual, and we're going to pick a different sport to play for the tournament. So our first big launch is going to be on February 10th, which is the Wednesday after the Super Bowl. We're going to start out with a cocktail hour from 7 to 8, which is going to be deeply discounted draft beers, well cocktails, shot specials, just to get people warmed up and in the mood. I'm going to go over some rules. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to have three Wii's set up that are going to be running nine-hole golf tournaments. The winner of the nine-hole golf tournament on that Wednesday wins $300 in cash and prizes.
Wow, fantastic. Now I want to make a suggestion. There's the Wii Golf that comes with Wii Sports, and then there's the Wii Golf that comes with Wii Sports Resort. And then, of course, there's all sorts of other Wii Golf games, like Tiger Woods and other crappy ones. Which one is going to be a part of the contest? It's very important to our listeners.
Well, you know, and you know what? We're really going to be doing it. And every Wednesday up until the 10th, we're going to be playing a variety of games to kind of find out which one fits our customers the best, which one is the most fun. We're really looking for simple yet challenging. I want people to be able to come down there and to be able to play well after 4 to 6 cocktails.
Gotcha.
So the 4 to 6 threshold, very important.
And fun to play, and you can do it with 3 or 4 drinks in you, that's the one we're going to be going with.
All right. Well, I think Ara and I are going to make sure to be there, at least on the opening night.
We're
going to be there every night.
We will totally be there. So can you host the Chatterbox team?
Oh, yes. I've already got a spot for the Chatterbox team.
Fantastic.
You guys are going to have a handicap, because I think you guys might be a little bit better than the 23-year-old drunk girl in there. But,
well, just give us more drinks for the handicap, and then we'll call it even.
I'll guarantee you, not at golf, but that's all right. I'll take the handicap, whatever it takes. So all of our listeners who are in the Phoenix area, you should definitely join us. And Noah, I want you to do me a favor and call us on February 9th to remind us about the event, which is coming up the next day. Can you do that?
Oh, I certainly will. And one other bonus that we've got for this promotion is each month will be a set game. So February is golf. And whoever makes it to all four Wednesdays to play in the tournament is going to be eligible to win 4 greenskeeper passes to the FBR Open with an unbelievable parking pass, free drinks, and VIP treatment to the after party.
Seriously?
Yeah,
all right. Well, I think
so
we can find a lot of people to do that then.
Golf is going to be our theme for February. In March, we're going to be doing basketball. So whoever makes it to all four Wednesdays in March is going to be automatically entered into a drawing, which will probably be no more than 10 to 20, 30 people, maybe maximum. And whoever's name we draw gets 4 floor seats to any Suns game they would like to attend.
That's fantastic.
We'll also have some... March is also going to be March Madness, so we'll be giving away March Madness tickets. And then as we get into May, we'll be doing a lot of racing games. And the top score and top attendance for the racing games is going to get some complimentary VIP passes to several of the sporting events that they host at Firebird Raceway, Phoenix International Raceway. Basically, every month I'm going to be giving away $1,200 in cash and prizes on top of these fantastic greenskeeper passes, floor seats to the Suns, pit passes to, NASCAR events. We're also going to be doing a baseball month where you're going to get behind home plate seats or a suite. So we've invested quite a bit of money in the prizes, and we're hoping to bring out both, the good-looking girls who like to play Wii and, maybe some of the amateurs, and definitely looking to get some pros in there. They're going to be able to show people how to do it. But all the way up until February 10th, we're going to have the Wii out every Wednesday from about 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. for practice play. There'll also be awards given out for the best dressed team. So when we do the golfing, if you show up in your golf outfit, You're going to be eligible to win the golfing best dress prize. We're going to be doing all kinds of crazy giveaways. So it's going to be a great time. The Sandbar is located on Scottsdale Road in Gold Dust, which is just one block south of Shea behind the California Pizza Kitchen. You can visit our website at www.sandbaraz.com or feel free just to look us up in the Yellow Pages under Sandbar.
Yeah, they're pretty easy to find. People have heard of the Sandbar, but specifically there's two in the valley, and we're talking about the one on the west side. Am I right?
We have three locations now, soon to be four. The Scottsdale location and the Peoria location, which is on 99th Avenue and Northern, are going to be hosting the weed tournaments. The Chandler location is a little bit crazy, a little bit different. They're going to have the Wii out for people to play. So if you're in Chandler, stop by, try your hand at some Wii, maybe get some practice time in, slide on up to Scottsdale and compete for the big money. And on the west side, they're going to be having the Wii tournaments, as well as they do a myriad of other things on that day. They've got karaoke.
All right. Now, we're actually coming to the end of our segment, so I appreciate it. I look forward to it, and we'll hear more from you the day before the event, right?
All right, Art, thank you so much. It was great talking to you guys.
And we're back. That was a mouthful, that last segment there.
Noah definitely got a lot of information.
That was great. So that was our buddy Noah from Sandbar. So please go there and have fun and tell him we sent you.
Real simple for the info, just go to the website. Sandbar Easy. Yeah. And that's we can leave it at that.
We sure can.
While you're surfing to Sandbar Easy, you can go to uat.edu, which is the website for our premier sponsor, the University of Advancing Technology. Now, I've been showing Ara some of the pictures
this,
on Golgatron.
This entire show has been highly distracting for me because I'm just looking at a lot of explicit pictures while we're attempting to talk on the radio.
Because we're looking at manufactured vaginas and lots of ladies from the AEE, the Adult Entertainment Expo.
And mind you,
all of these pictures are on Golgatron.com.
This is no complaint from me.
No, I guess not. I've just been flipping through them for your edification. But I also showed him pictures of Data, and this is great because the one picture we have of Data in the background, there's a guy who totally looks like a Vulcan. I thought anyway.
So, other than the ears.
Oh, no, the picture kind of makes it look like he's got tall ears. I don't know. That's what I thought. It was kind of funny to me. And so we've got pictures from the CES event, like the parties we went to and stuff, which was a lot of fun. There's pictures of us all enjoying ourselves. And then there's also pictures of when Josh and Corey from Golgatron went over to the AEE and took pictures of all of the lewd and crass things that you probably shouldn't be looking at work. So,
but you should be looking at elsewhere.
Yes, no, definitely. Golgatron.com. Golgotron.com. Go there. Now, we've got a little bit more time, and we've got Penn on the line.
Yeah, he's been waiting a long time.
He has
so
been.
Let's let him on.
So let's bring on Penn. Penn, you are on the air, sir.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Wonderfully, thank you. What do you
What's
think
up,
of this
Penn?
Sega Ring Board, huh? Huh?
I don't know much about as far as arcades, but I literally about 3 months ago I was complaining about how I wish my netbook had some piece of hardware that let me play Dreamcast games.
So you're a proponent for Sega and Sega hardware?
No, I mean, not. I don't really care. It could be an NVIDIA card for all I care. I just want to play the old classic Sega games. And right now, Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo have this weird thing where instead of giving the whole library of games, they like to, you know, give it out one by one, which drives me crazy because, I mean, the games that I'm waiting for aren't out yet, so it's sort of pointless for me.
All right. So what is it that you were calling it about? What aside from the Sega Ring Board that I still don't know anything about?
Well, before, you know, I ranted on reviewers, and now I'm sort of going to go against gamers because it seems that they put sets of demands on games that seem kind of ridiculous, and then when they fix it, it actually makes the game worse.
Ah, yes, the good old I feel entitled to this, plus since I play games, I know best about what should be in a game.
So you're saying that gamers complain, and then the developers adjust to satisfy the gamers
and make the
game worse?
This happens all the time.
I have a specific example that I wanted to cite, which is before we used to have games with invisible walls. which is usually it's a big open area and suddenly you can't move forward.
I hate invisible walls.
Yeah, I despise them.
And for me, it doesn't bother me at all because who cares in the end? Who cares?
I care.
Okay.
So they fixed it. Wait, hold on. They fixed it, right?
Who did?
And in Assassin's Creed specifically, they put water. It was essentially a death trap. So they did something kind of inventive in putting it into gameplay where this is now a hazard. This stops you from moving along. And people complained about that. Why can't he swim? So in Assassin's Creed 2, they let him swim, which looks stupid. Somebody in full armor swimming. Now it just looks ridiculous.
This is. I think we've got actually a few different...
What were you saying about nitpicky players?
Different. Hold on. I think we got a few different simultaneous topics going on here. So one of them, which I'm so glad you brought up, is that, players will constantly ask for or even demand things that, without understanding what the consequences and repercussions of those things being a part of the game are. That's like classic gamer, like, oh, why doesn't this game do this kind of thing, okay? The other thing is that when you mentioned the water example, right? This is so interesting to me because players, once you put in something in a game, particularly if it has... if it's very, very close to a real representation of things, it automatically comes with what I call baggage. It comes with the baggage of your expectation of what it does in real life, right? So if a game doesn't have any water, you don't wonder, oh, why can't my character swim? We kind of touched on this last week, too. If a game has water, now you wonder, why can't I swim? It's the same thing with every single thing that you put in a game that has any kind of realism to it, or any kind of, I'm going to use a big word now, verisimilitude.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Did you just do that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I was preparing you.
You may proceed.
All right. So there's always baggage that comes with it. The only time you don't get baggage is when you have a game that's like, I don't know if you guys remember this reference, like Adventure of Lolo, like a completely abstract game. Then you don't get the baggage. But if you start using iconography, you still get some baggage because the player has expectations of how the iconography is going to work based on their history of iconography on a person-to-person basis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense to you, Ben?
Can any of us say anything other than...
I understand that, but it's sort of like, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Like, a whole group of people didn't care about invisible walls, and then they fixed it using water, and then a whole brand new set of people complained about the water, and then they fixed it. Now you have a whole new set of people going, why is this guy fully clothed with armor and sword?
Sure, of course.
Well, why not?
Well, it's Ezio. He can do whatever he wants. That and you could explain...
I don't know why that's so bad. Who cares if it looks bad? Like, he might fall in the water, and he'd rather swim than die.
Yeah.
But everyone keeps talking about how, oh, look at how realistic it is and how the world is so well done. And then there's this guy in full armor swimming, and it looks incredibly out of place.
You're
I'm
also
not personally
in
complaining.
An animus.
I'm saying that people are complaining about it, and it's sort of like, you know what? The death water was fine. I appreciated that because...
I can't help but ask again. If you were in armor and you fell in the water, would you rather die or swim?
Like, you would die.
Yeah. You're also Ezio, and you're also climbing straight up a rock brick building. Like, that's more unrealistic.
Well, I've seen people do that. I haven't seen people in full armor swimming.
Okay.
That's because
you haven't
seen anybody in armor.
Okay.
I think there's a more interesting angle here, and we only have a couple minutes.
I think as far as realism goes, I think with... people in armor swimming, it might go against some sense of realism, but it works as a gameplay element because I'd rather be able to swim out instead of die, reload, and then have to go back to wherever I was before, or that it does get rid of the issue.
Of course you would. You play everything on easy.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed doesn't have difficulty settings. Actually, Rich does have a decent point here. I mean, any kind of game that's sufficiently realistic is going to invariably have things in it that don't actually happen in the real world. And I don't think there's a problem with it. I think that's
okay. If it works for a gameplay element. If it's just for no nonsensical reason.
Of course you're doing it for gameplay. You do things for gameplay in a game primarily, not because it happens in the real world. But I wanted to take a different angle on this real briefly, if I could, which is that Crap, I just lost.
Lord of the Rings Two Towers is not a jumping game.
No, it's not a jumping game.
speaking of good angles, though, interesting angles. Yeah. If you go to Golgatron.com.
Yeah, I see. This is why I lost my train of thought, because you're showing me all these good angles.
Yes, all of these wonderful pictures.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just totally lost.
All right.
And did you talk about AI?
What do you mean, did we talk about AI?
You said last week you wanted to talk about AI, so I wanted to remind you, because I have no idea what you wanted to speak about.
No, but I remembered what I was going to say. Okay, check this out, right? Here's the funny thing, is that companies publicly will constantly say that we are listening to the consumer. The number one thing is to listen to the consumer. On face value, that's the best thing to do, right?
No, I don't think so.
On face value.
Listen to the consumer? Yes, I see absolutely no problem listening to the consumer.
Okay, here's the thing.
Reacting to the consumer, different story.
Exactly. The consumer doesn't know what is best for the game, because they don't even know what they want. There's two kinds of philosophies as far as, let's say, selling products is concerned, right? You either ask the consumer what they want and you give it to them, or the other philosophy, which I subscribe to, which I think works better, is, okay, fine, ask them what they want and then interpret what they're saying in the context of, you know, their history, what they like, what they don't like, and give them something that they never knew they wanted, but they realized they wanted because you're the one actually making the product and you're the one deciding what to give them.
Well, yeah. You, as the developer, are the intelligent one who can discern what they really want through their...
Right.
The filth that comes out of their mouth, which is wrong.
That part is never mentioned because it's like a taboo thing, because you never want to say that you're not listening to the customer. You never want to say that the customer doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Penn, did we cover what you wanted?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, no problem. We're at the end of the show. Thank you for calling. Thank you, everyone. Don't forget to go to that sandbaraz.com website, learn more about what they've got going on. We're going to talk more about that on the 9th, which is the day before the big event. And, of course, if you're in Phoenix or anywhere even remotely near Phoenix and want to make it out, you should. We'll be there. It'll be a fun time. That's February 10th, so like a month from now.
Totally.
Anyway, end of the show. We'll be back next week. And everybody, next week is our 6 years. 6 years in production. Yay, go us.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.